Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Remember the ex-serviceman's banter? Spare a copper.
Spare a copper? Why, I want all the money I've got. Go on, get away, get away. Soft.
What a mean man.
You know who that is? A millionaire. You remember Finicky Luca?
Finicky Luca, yes.
That's his brother, Filthy Luca. Doesn't know how to enjoy his money.
No? Hey, mister, with £1 million and a kind of nervous indigestion. Rich mister, with everything in life, I'd just like to ask you one question.
Why are you silly so-and-so? With all your dough, are you having any fun? What are you getting out of living? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laughs? Are you getting any loving? If other people do, so can you have a little fun? After the honey's in the comb, little bees go out and play. Even the old gray mare down home has gotta have hay. Are you having any fun? You ain't gonna live forever. Before you're old and gray, still okay. Have a little fun, son. Have a little fun.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find, temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And I guess the question of the day is, are you having any fun, son? Wait, I'll turn your mic on if you want, Mr. Rob.
Hey.
Well, the hey is for the Musketeer roll call. I haven't even played the Musketeer roll call.
We'll get to it.
In a second. Look who's back. In fact, we should do it right now so we know who's in the studio because, why are you shaking your head, Carol?
I'm just getting ready for the roll. I'm getting ready.
Here we go.
Musketeers roll call. Count off now.
Rob.
Hey.
Carol.
Woohoo.
Johnny.
Lisa.
Sharon.
Sarah. Okay. Well, we got 2 out of 4. And I understand that we will be graced later by the lovely Lisa Albrecht. She's working with entertaining a 16-year-old and part of family duties today, and she will be here later. But it's going to be good to have Lisa here because she just finished taking the training with Al Gore for Climate Reality Project, and she's all kind of excited. Wait a second. This microphone. I'm not even speaking in this. This thing's flopping here. Okay. What do we got? Lordy. Okay. I don't know what's going on. And there's the screen. which we need because, as we know, I was diseased last week. But I'm better now. Just for you people in the studio, so you know, I'm better. I am much better. Anyway, yeah, Lisa trained with Al Gore. Thought it was pretty exciting. But what's kind of interesting is, and I have to ask her about this, if one of the listeners to the show sent me an email with a link to a story that is called Notes from a Mole in Al Gore's Climate Leadership Training from some obviously right-wing blog called What's Up With That, W-A-T-T-S, get it? And surprise, the right-winger thought the whole thing was a cult. It just surprises the heck out of me that guy would not be charmed by Al Gore. How is that even possible?
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable.
No, it's not. So anyway, Lisa will be here. We'll talk about that later on. We got a lot to do on the show today. We got to give away a couple of tickets to the Down in the Dumps tour. Southeast Environmental Task Force has two more tickets. It's next Saturday. I will be part of it. And a bunch of other folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, I have some more information about it. The guests will be me and Deborah Stone, Director of Cook County Department of the Environment. Okay. And we will do the tour on the southeast side of the various operations along the Calumet River and Lake Calumet. Learn how Chicago deals with garbage, sewage, and waste treatment. I mean, it's an amazing tour. I've never taken it, but I've heard people talk about it. And, of course, I know Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force. And so we're going to give away a couple of tickets like that, but I also urge you to get your tickets. They have been reduced. It's now $25. It includes lunch, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. 2 a.m. We're going to go out at 2 a.m., we'll do that later on. Also today, I did a query on Facebook, and maybe I'll mention that at the top of the show because it was pretty remarkable. I asked folks if they'd seen any monarch butterflies around, and basically nobody is seeing monarch butterflies. Now, I asked it on some other Facebook chat forums and about other parts of the country. Two parts of the country that I understand have seen monarch butterflies. Pennsylvania has seen some, and Florida. And pretty much everybody else is saying, where are all the monarchs? And I don't think I've seen a one here in Chicago. And that's a little frightening. I'll get to that in a second. Rick DeMaio weather, of course, is at 9:45. Greg Whitstock, the pond guy, is here at 10 o'clock to talk about Aquascape and talk about the work he's doing with rainwater harvesting and his foundation, the Aquascape Foundation, and a bunch of other things going on today. One thing I do want to mention, and let's make sure we've got it up here, and I hope I have it. Oh, I'm going to have to look for my... See, no, I'm not going to find it fast enough on Facebook. Wait a second. Talk amongst yourselves, kids, while I do this.
We need intermission music, like Hot Dog Lobby music or stuff like
that. Do we have that?
There's got to be that.
Okay, there we are. I believe I've got it here. Yep. I wanted to let you know, Our Town, the late lamented Our Town radio program, Our Town with Mike Sanders, formerly here on WCPT, is having its first annual Listener's Appreciation Day at Brutter's Sports Bar, 3600 North Pulaski. That's Pulaski and Addison. And it is next Friday, August 9th. Come hang out with the Our Town crew, Ms. Lady B, Fred and Ernest, Julia and Mike Sanders. It says no cover, 8 p.m. to whenever. And get to meet the crew. So even though they're not here, and I do miss the lead-in to their from their show to mine, you can see them next Friday at Brutter's Sports Bar, 3600 North Pulaski in Chicago, our town's first annual listeners appreciation. And I hope some of you, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go in and say hi. So
Is that at 2 a.m. also?
Yeah, it's also at 2. Well, that's when we let it out. That's when it starts to get interesting. So the first annual Our Town's first annual listeners appreciation, 8 p.m. to whenever, Brutter Sports Bar, 3600 North Pulaski, this Friday, August 9th. And I had to make sure I did the shout out for that. Okay, now let's get to the very important topic of the first hour. And by the way, if during this you are interested in calling in, the number is always 773-763-9278. Feel free to post on Twitter and Facebook. We got Rob on the Twitter machine.
Oh yeah, Twitter.
Yeah. You got it. You got Twitter nailed there.
We're tweeting.
Okay, good. And what have you posted so far?
I'm about to post the Our Town tour info.
Oh, there you go.
Detail info.
And Carol Brewer on the Facebook machine?
Yeah, I'm trying to do Facebook, but it's a little bit weird, so we'll see.
Facebook-y.
It's being all Facebook-y.
Wait, is it not responding?
Yeah, it's just kind of, I'm going to have to reboot or restart it or something.
You know, we were having that problem last week.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck is the problem with Facebook. You can log on, and then it doesn't accept stuff, doesn't accept posts. And you do have the password, the right password and all
I'm
that.
I'm in, yeah.
You're in, it just doesn't let you do it.
I just can't post anything right now. So
any of our Facebook friends have any idea about that, let us know. Okay. 773-763-9278. In the studio, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Court Loaf, who's the Medical Director, Division of Environmental Health with the Chicago Department of Public Health. Did I get that right?
You did,
okay.
Yes.
And Ruth Kersey, who's the executive director of the Midwest Pesticide Action Center, or MPAC, which used to be formerly Safer Pest Control Project. And I've always been a big fan of Safer Pest Control Project. And I'm a big fan of the fact that you guys changed the name.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. You know, you had to. There was just...
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's just too hard to say Safer Pest Control Project.
Well, and also you were competing with the company. That one company that does the safe, safer brand.
Exactly.
And I'm sure it was a nightmare.
Yep. People mistook us all the time.
Yeah. And they figured you probably were on the, even though you might in some loose way be on the same team, you really weren't on the same team. So I'm glad to have you both in the studio. And we're going to start with Carol Brewer. She's someone who, I got a couple of emails about this, but Carol was really the one who put it all into focus, because you sent me an email, Carol, about something going on in your neighborhood. And what was that?
I did. I was listening to the news, sitting at work listening to the news, and there was an announcement about spraying in the Albany Park neighborhood for mosquitoes. Northwest side, plus including Albany Park, and I'm right near there. I'm actually in, right by River Park up there, and I just didn't like that idea about spraying. And even though we're right by the park, I haven't really seen any mosquitoes, so I didn't feel like that was necessary. So I called Midwest Pesticide Action Center. Nishat Yunus, the communications associate, answered, and she was really helpful. And I asked her what their stand was on it. And she said that, that they didn't feel that it was necessary to do the spraying in the way that the city does. And she explained what a better alternative was. And I said, as someone that lives in Chicago, what can I do if I don't want my neighborhood sprayed? And she said to contact the city, write your alderman. So that's what I did. So I sat down and wrote an email to Pat O'Connor. It turns out that my ward, Ward 40, wasn't going to get sprayed that night, but I'm sure it's on the list soon. It was the ward next to me, so I'm not sure. Although I have seen trucks in my neighborhood in the past, and we always, you know, would see them go down the street, and you know,
and you would run behind them as the fog came out and cheer.
I've seen pictures of that, and that's pretty disturbing. But
that's the 1950s.
Yeah, but so we thought, well, what do? Just close our windows and then come out later and. Everything will be okay. And I'm someone who has developed asthma in the last couple years. And so I don't want any other things to aggravate it. So I felt like this was not a good option.
And that's how this came to be. And so I think we should go to the city first. Let's talk to Dr. Court Loaf. And again, the medical director with the Division of Environmental Health for the Chicago Department of Public Health. And this is basically what you deal with, right?
Yes, we do. So the city health department has a comprehensive program in place to address West Nile virus. Mm-hmm. Early on in the year in May, we actually drop larvicide in our catch basins. We drop larvicide in about 100,000 catch basins. And the larvicide is useful for killing the immature form of the mosquito so it doesn't turn into an adult. So that's one very effective way of trying to reduce the mosquito population, specifically the mosquitoes that actually can vector or carry the West Nile virus.
Do you use BT in the larvicide?
We do, yes.
Yeah. All right. And a lot of you might know about these larvicides anyway. You might not recognize the word larvicide, but you might recognize the name mosquito dunks. And these are the sort of products that you can buy. Summit puts them out. Other companies put them out. And you throw them in the water, and they release Bacillus thuringiensis, and they kill the larvae of the mosquito population. Now, all mosquitoes, including the Culex mosquito, which carries the West Nile virus?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we're dealing with, I mean, the reason you're concerned about it mainly is not that people are going to be bitten by mosquitoes, but they are going to be bitten by this particular mosquito, the Culex, which carries the West Nile virus.
That's right, yes.
So you start with larvicides. How do you determine that the larvicides have not been effective enough so that you need to spray in a community?
Right. So again, as part of our comprehensive program, we have a surveillance system in place where we set traps throughout the city. We have about 80 traps set up throughout the city between June and the end of September. We go out there twice a week and we collect these mosquitoes and we test them in our lab and we determine whether or not these mosquitoes are carrying West Nile virus or not. And if they are, we determine sort of the numbers, or we try to estimate the numbers of the mosquitoes that are carrying the West Nile virus in any particular trap. If we see relatively high numbers of mosquitoes that are carrying West Nile virus, that's an indication that the risk of human infection or human disease is going to be is heightened in that given area. And that's one of the pieces of information or pieces of data that we use to determine whether or not spraying might be indicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What sort of recourse do people have? Say, Carol Brewer comes to you and says, I have asthma. My children have asthma. We're concerned about spraying in our neighborhood. What should they do?
Well, again, prior to the spraying, it's important for people to understand that we do educate the public. We do inform the public about that the spray is going to happen. We put out a press release, work with the media. We put things on Facebook, Twitter. And as I see here, we put door hangers on in the affected communities to alert people about the spray event and things that they can do to ensure that they're not exposed directly to the spray. And this particular spray contains a chemical that is safe for humans. There is certainly some toxicity because it is intended to kill mosquitoes.
You're talking about Zenovex.
Zenovex, that's correct.
Okay. And to your credit, it's on the website, City of Chicago website. You do name the chemical.
Yes.
One of the things that I became aware of this people when I saw news stories about it, and I got to tell you, they just infuriated me because people are news readers in this town and probably all over the country just said, oh, there's going to be spraying. Okay, on to the next story. No mention of what the chemical might be, no mention of what people might do as a recourse. And I found it rather annoying. you know, that in this day and age, we don't have better information about how to protect ourselves. You know, that news story might have been from the 1950s. Don't worry, kids, get behind the DDT truck. It'll be just fine. But things have changed since then. And so you use Zenovex. And why is it, do you know why the chemical Zenovex is used, by the way? It's spelled Zenivex.
Yeah, so certainly these pesticides that are in use today are much safer than those that have been used in the 1950s. And this particular chemical, Zenovex, has a very low toxicity profile, and it's specifically targeted towards mosquitoes. And we spray at a time when the adult mosquitoes are most active, and that is right after dusk, and that's when the adult mosquitoes are out looking for a blood meal. And that's when we target our spray efforts, is to put the spray out there and to directly target the adult mosquitoes and kill the adult mosquitoes when they're out looking for their blood meal.
Mm-hmm. This is from – I found a website about Zenovex. All right, you say it has low toxicity, and the other thing is that you apply it in very low doses.
That's correct.
However, from the MSDS of Zenovex, which is the material safety data sheet, it says this pesticide is toxic to aquatic organisms, including fish and aquatic invertebrates. Runoff from treated areas or deposition into bodies of water may be hazardous to fish and other aquatic organisms. Do not apply over bodies of water, lakes, rivers, permanent streams, natural ponds, commercial fish ponds, swamps, marshes, or estuaries, except when necessary to target areas where the adult mosquitoes are present. Well, isn't that where they're going to be present? Isn't that the whole point? And it also says, and weather conditions will facilitate movement of applied material away from water in order to minimize incidental deposition into the water body. That sounds like your get-out-of-jail-free card to me. It says, this product is highly toxic to bees exposed to direct treatment on blooming crops or weeds. Time the applications to provide the maximum possible interval between treatment and the next period of bee activity. Do not apply to blooming crops or weeds when bees are visiting the treatment area, except when applications are made to prevent or control a threat to public and or animal health determined by the state, tribal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you know that when you spray this, this is toxic to bees, and you also know we are in a period of our history when we have a necessary concern over what we are doing to our bees, and a lot of it, whether you believe this is the smoking gun or not, scientists know that bee exposure to even low doses of pesticides are causing some damage to bees. How do you take that into consideration?
Well, again, the timing of the spray is most important. We spray at dusk, and at dusk, the adult mosquitoes are most active, but the bees are in their hives and not out. So the bees are not exposed directly to the chemical, to the pesticide. At the same time, this is a product that is very unstable in the environment. So once it begins to settle into the grass and into the flowers, it begins to degrade, and the product degrades and therefore no longer becomes toxic to anything that it's exposed to, including to the bees.
Okay, let's bring in Ruth Kersey, who is the executive director of the Midwest Pesticide Action Center. By the way, you just heard Dr. Court Loaf, medical director for the Chicago Department of Public Health. Ruth, what is the position of the Midwest Pesticide Action Center about this kind of spraying?
Well, we as an organization, you know, really promote the reduction or elimination of the use of pesticides when you're dealing with pests. So clearly we have a bit of an alternative perspective. I mean, one of the things that you brought up is bees and the collateral damage that may happen.
What about butterflies? Do you know if butterflies are affected by this?
I don't know specifically if butterflies are, but if you read even just the label on Zenovex, they also talk about, toxic for bees, toxic for other insects, toxic for aquatic life. And one thing that's not considered often when people are using these types of products or governments decide to use these products is the additive effects of them. So that's something that really concerns us. So yes, when you look at Zenovex on its own in isolation and the damage it can cause to human health or other health, it may not be very significant or it seems like minimal risk. But when you add it to the other things that people use on their own lawns and their own homes or add it to other underlying health conditions, it becomes a problem.
Now, are we, again, we have to be clear, are we talking about health conditions to insects or human beings? You know, I mean, it's there are both that we need, and other animals, I would assume. Now, one of the things that the city says, while it says, and this is from your website, Dr. Love, while the spray is not harmful to people or pets and is routinely sprayed in residential areas across the nation, residents of targeted neighborhoods may choose to stay indoors and close their windows while spraying is underway as an extra precaution. So are you by that admitting that people with asthmatic conditions might react to it?
No, that's not what we're saying. We're sort of responding to concerns that some people have about the use of the spray. So we give them information. We give them things that they can do should they wish to protect themselves from the spray. And again, we're not in doing that. We're not acknowledging and we're not saying that the spray is harmful to humans. It's quite the contrary. But we're giving people some things that they can do should they wish to prevent themselves from being exposed to it.
I suppose they could also knock on wood. I mean, it just seems like it's superstition. If it's not harmful and you're asking people, you're saying, well, if you want to close the windows, that's great. That is, you know, you're telling them to do something you don't believe in. So make yourself feel good. Take your placebo and you'll be all right. Carol?
Well, I have a question. Is there like a residual, like, you know, when it does fall, it's not on the grass or... you know, that you can bring it in your house or even on, like, kids' lawn toys or, I don't know, pets?
Yeah.
You know,
One of the nice things about Zenefex is that when it does fall to the ground, the ultraviolet light will start to degrade it. So by the morning when it's out, the ultraviolet light will start to degrade the chemical and it will no longer be effective.
It actually remains in the environment for about 2 days in water and about 4 days on the land.
All right. And if it's remaining for 2 days, 4 days on the land, 2 days in water?
4 days on ground, right, and 2 days in the water.
Where it is still having residual effect as well.
Correct.
On insects.
It is degrading and mm-hmm. has a short half-life. I mean, compared to other pesticides, it does have a short half-life, so I will give that to the Chicago Department of Public Health. But it is around mm-hmm. for a number of days after it's
sprayed. Well, let's cut to the chase here, Ruth. You're not the doctor. He's the doctor. Ruth, would you prefer they not spray?
Our organization does think it's a bit of overkill to spray.
I happen to agree with you, by the way. I agree with Ruth Kersey that I think it's overkill. I think we're past that point.
Right.
Where I think, given the seriousness of West Nile, which is a serious and people do die from it, no more than 300 people have ever died in a given year. This year, the numbers are very low. The last count I saw was three or two. I have it somewhere. It is two. In 2013 so far. 286 last year, which was the highest number ever recorded. And typical numbers of people who die from it are 43, 57, 32, 44. There have been several times over 100. We have 316 million people in this country. Even 286 deaths is 9/100,000 of 1%. That, to me, seems like overkill to use that, especially when you consider you're already doing the larvicides, and I'm sure you agree with that kind of treatment, Ruth.
I would say the Chicago Department of Public Health has done a really excellent job of addressing concerns for West Nile virus and doing larviciding and doing the surveillance and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they have to balance that, of course, against public perception. And I think it's very good on this show that you're talking about those numbers because that also gives people good, better perspective on what's happening with
West
Nile.
And here's the perspective that I got. Carol and I went last night to a wonderful event. It was the sixth annual Peak Harvest Farm Dinner at Angelic Organics Farm in Caledonia. I didn't get bitten once. I was out in a farm in the middle of nowhere. Okay, no mosquitoes. I had no repellent. B, we ended up talking to a man who nearly died last year from Lyme disease, who says that Lyme disease is really a serious, serious problem, and that Northern Illinois has become a hotspot for Lyme disease. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the country. I mean, you in forest preserves, he said mice carry Lyme disease, and that maybe we should be directing our efforts there and not so much toward West Nile virus. I think West Nile virus has become the rock star of diseases, and perhaps in an unwarranted fashion, because it's new. We got in, you know, the late 90s is when it showed up in the United States, and people went, oh my gosh, West Nile. Well, in all that time, there's certainly no indication that it is becoming a pandemic. Not even close. And so when we go back to these treatments of the fogging, which seems to me, and it does, you know, we've mentioned the 50s several times on the show. It feels like we've gone back to those times. It's like, let's get the fog trucks out. And when we're more sophisticated, that's, and anybody who studies control of these insects know that's the measure of last resort. That is the least effective measure is fogging. Most effective is get them in the larvicide stage, you know, when you can apply that. So I'm just, Dr. Loaf, I'm wondering, have you heard about the prevalence of Lyme disease?
Yeah, of course. Lyme disease is a bacterium disease that's carried by ticks, as you mentioned. It is growing in importance throughout the United States, and including around areas of Illinois. So it is a very serious disease, and it can be a very serious disease for folks. Now, getting back to West Nile virus, I think one thing I do want to state is that we recognize the concerns about the spray. We do recognize that people are concerned about the spray. We do give people information about the type of spray that's used and ways that they can prevent their exposure to it. And I do want to reiterate a couple things. First of all, we use spray as a last resort. We've only sprayed on two separate days this whole summer. Last year, we had a fairly significant West Nile season as well, which we had to spray on several occasions as well. And there are some summers where we do not spray at all because we don't feel that the risk of human infection is that great. So we do spray it at a last resort, and we're guided by our surveillance data. We're guided by the information we collect from our mosquito traps, so as we can target our spray efforts in only those areas where we really feel that we really need to spray as a last resort. And the most important thing about this is that this is a disease that can kill people, and it can kill elderly people. And in absent spray, that risk of West Nile virus infection will remain elevated. And it potentially can kill people. So we do feel that we have an obligation to protect our folks in the city to prevent themselves from coming down with this infection and to prevent them from dying from this disease. Now, in addition to death, people can develop meningitis. They can develop encephalitis. And they can have very severe consequences of these infections as well. And again, this is a disease that primarily affects the elderly. And so again, the city feels we have an obligation to protect those folks, and as a last resort, we feel the need to spray, but we only spray on a very limited basis when we feel that risk is elevated.
And to be sure, you're not the only county doing that. I got a post from somebody who said DuPage sprayed twice in July, and I'm sure the other counties in the area have.
I'll just add too that we get a lot of requests for spraying throughout the city.
For spraying. Now, do you also get requests? What would you say the ratio of requests to for spraying versus those who say, please don't spray around my home? Or are you not able to quantify that?
It's hard to quantify.
And can you clarify who to contact? Because when I did contact my alderman, there was no response, unfortunately. But I emailed. No email back, and that was a week ago.
Because from what I understand, you can request it. It doesn't mean that the truck is not going to spray. Ruth, you're shaking your head.
Well, it wouldn't be if a single house requesting no spray.
I know,
spray
it seems
would
absurd. It wouldn't happen. Yeah.
I mean, our perspective is exactly like, you know, they do use the spraying as a last resort. My problem is that there is a lot of whitewashing of what this product is and pesticides are in general. And the term safe being used in the same sentence with a pesticide is really not responsible. And that concerns me because although we are trying to protect populations from West Nile virus, we want to make sure we're also protecting the public from problems, chronic diseases that could come up later. There's a very little data on any of that, like what long-term exposure to these types of pesticides
are. Well, Zanavix is a newer chemical,
right,
isn't it?
Right, so we really don't know that much
about
it.
Well, and I'll use this as an example of this because I talk about this on the show, and you know about this, Ruth. 2,4-D, according to the EPA, the doses in which you use it on your lawn are insignificant. It's less than 1%. However, we do know it has been linked to endocrine disruption, to it's a known carcinogen, other problems with it. I tell people when you use 2,4-D, you're putting poison on your lawn. And Ruth has pointed out in the same way, we have these arsenals and we come up with more and more chemicals. And when is the point at which we say, you know, maybe that strategy is not working anymore? And then we go to other strategies and become more aggressive in the earlier stages of their development, mosquitoes' development with larvicides and other treatments. And of course, public information is key. You can't have standing water in your backyard, especially standing water that's been there for a long time. And I know that it happens in old tires and places where people don't know it's happening, and that's tough to get the word out. But that education obviously is part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, I think the city can do only so much, and we really need to rely on the public to take those measures to reduce those areas in their backyards, in their neighborhoods where the mosquitoes like to lay their eggs. And as you said, these are small standing pools of water. The adult mosquito will lay their eggs in these small standing pools of water. And those sources are significant. And it really doesn't take a lot of water for these mosquitoes to lay their eggs. And that is a huge problem. And it's hard to address.
So we only have a couple minutes here. Ruth, I would direct this to you. Where would you like to see this kind of operation go?
Well, we would really like to see just general spraying go away completely. It's not very effective. It could be potentially dangerous to people. It could be dangerous to wildlife and animals. But what I would like to really see, I know the Chicago Department of Public Health has a responsibility to protect the public, and they take that very seriously. What I would like to see as an organization and a citizen of Chicago is transparency, as much transparency as possible, notice, a lot of notice, more education, of course, is always good, just a lot more information about why they make the decision to spray, I think, is really important. And there really is very little, there's very difficult to find out that information.
And the other thing I would add is in the case of Carol, what recourse do people have who have objections to it? Right now, there's no recourse, really. You can complain to your alderman, but you're still going to end up being in the middle of the spray area. It seems to me, even as a matter of public safety, there has to be a little dialogue. And I think what I see happening is that this is what the way we've always done it, and this is the way we're going to continue to do it because we're looking out for your safety. Okay, I understand that the city has responsibility, whether it's water or the air or insects, to look out for public safety. On the other hand, these people are citizens, and they have a right to speak up and be heard. And you know, maybe that process needs to be, as you said, a little more transparent. I don't know. What do you think, Dr. Loaf?
Yeah, I mean, we struggle with these questions a lot, too. We do recognize the public concern about the spraying. At the same time, we also hear from a different side of the public who want to see more spraying, not only for West Nile, but also for nuisance reasons.
Really?
And we don't spray for nuisance, which is something unique to the city. We get a lot of requests.
Wait, and for nuisance what?
For nuisance, basically where we get mosquitoes that nuisance mosquitoes are basically mosquitoes that just bite you that don't cause disease. There are a lot of different types of mosquitoes, including mosquitoes in Chicago, that just bite you that don't transmit disease. We get a lot of requests from the public to spray for that. We don't do that. That's been our policy for a number of years.
Well, good. Good for you. I hope you don't spray for Japanese beetles either, you know, and that's just another nuisance.
So we do take these concerns very seriously. We do try to balance the risk versus the benefit as much as we can, which is why we do very limited spraying, and we target those areas where we feel that our data show an increased risk of human infection.
I want to thank you both for coming into the studio. That is Dr. Court Loaf, who's the Medical Director, Division of Environmental Health, Chicago Department of Public Health. You're welcome anytime. I hope when you have other issues that you want to get out that you come to the show. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ruth Kersey, Executive Director, Midwest Pesticide Action Center, formerly Safer Pest Control Project. Anything else you want to get out about what MPAC is up to right now before I let you go?
Well, we're working very hard with the city. We work great with the Chicago Department of Public Health on bed bug issues. So if you want information about bed bugs, which is always a problem for urban environments these days.
And I've had Rick Moskowitz on the show, and I know he works with you guys a lot about bed bugs, and there are new treatments for bed bugs, and some of them are very, very effective.
Right. And we're also going to have a new website coming out in September, so check that out. It'll be even easier to access our information. And so we just keep chugging right along, so come check us out.
That's right. Even though they're no longer Safer Pest Control, you may now recognize them as the Midwest Pesticide Action Center. It's going to take a little time for people to get used to that, roll it around in their brains, but I think it's good for you guys to do that.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you both for being in the studio. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sometimes you need solutions to problems that you never dreamed existed. For example, many of you have put plants in containers. Most of those containers have predictably boring colors. So, what happens if somebody gives you a wildly decorated pot and you must now figure out what kinds of plants will work in your very special container? You know, I'm talking about mixing plaids and stripes, so to speak. That's where the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine comes in. Carolyn Ulrich, who is the editor, walks you through the steps of fitting your multicolored plants to your multicolored container. There's also a story on how to install your own DIY drip irrigation system and one on the basics of hardscaping your yard. There's even a piece on a wonderfully subtle, rewarding plant, and Rob knows about this plant, Cislaria, and how to use it wisely. And you've used it, haven't you?
Love it. Grass that grows in the shade.
Yeah, there you go. Grass that grows in the shade. And it's an ornamental. Speaking of wise guys, there's my column on the inside back page. Some people actually read that first. Some people need therapy. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
All right. You know, Rob, that was about the most serious conversation we've had in a long time.
It was deep.
It was. I was just surprised. Usually we're like laughing and scratching, and that was like really serious.
That was intense.
It was intense.
But it was good.
Yeah,
it
I think
good.
So, too. Yeah. I think so. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. We often admire our trees by looking up. However, it pays to look down to the soil line and below. If you want to keep your trees happy, you should consider taking advantage of the Soil Care Program from the Care of Trees. Soils are comprised of physical, mineral, and biological components. The physical aspect is compromised by activities like compaction, which crushes roots and impedes their growth. The mineral portion of the soil is negatively influenced by disrupting natural nutrient cycling, such as raking up leaves. I bet you never thought of raking your leaves as disrupting natural nutrient recycling. It is. And competition with other plants like turf. That's also disrupting natural nutrient cycling. Microorganisms comprise the biological component of the soil, and they require a food source, minerals, oxygen, and water to effectively decompose organic matter and recycle nutrients. The three components of soil are interrelated. They comprise the soil food web. And activities that promote one are often beneficial for all three. Talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees about their soil care program. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. Rick DeMille weather coming up in 30 seconds.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. A real quick announcement here. The Lincoln Square Garden Walk, Saturday, August 10th. That's also the same day as the Down in the Dumps. Oh, and we need a question to give away two tickets for the Down in the Dumps tour, by the way. All right, I'll come up with a question for the Down in so we can give away a couple of tickets. But the Lincoln Square Garden Walk is next Saturday, August 10th from 1 to 5. Features 20 personally designed gardens in a fun and active neighborhood. Tickets are only $7.50 and will be on sale in Giddings Plaza at the intersection of Lincoln Avenue and Giddings Street, just south of Lawrence. The proceeds benefit Waters Elementary School, which has an environmentally focused curriculum, and it's a stop on the walk. Admission includes coupons to neighborhood businesses. Also, a master gardener will be on hand to give demonstrations. I'll bet Sarah Batka had something to do with setting this up. There will be demonstrations on worm composting and to answer any gardening questions. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. 7:50, 1 to 5, next Saturday. Go to Giddings Plaza at the intersection of Lincoln and Giddings Street, just south of Lawrence Avenue, and enjoy the Lincoln Square Garden Walk. And I'm going to, I got to tell you what I've been enjoying is the weather.
Oh, Mike, isn't it nice?
Oh, my goodness. As I mentioned earlier, Carol and I were out at the sixth annual peak harvest dinner for Angelic Organics Learning Center out in Caledonia, Illinois, up by the Wisconsin border yesterday. What a beautiful evening.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah, it was about as good as it gets. And even though we had a second little cool front kind of swing through the air this morning, you can't beat upper 70s this time of the year with dew points in the upper 40s. And I just finished, Mike, a 15-minute swim in Lake Michigan, where the lake water temperature is actually a very pleasant 70 degrees. So,
and you know, you've been following that all year. You've been waiting for this time, haven't you?
Yeah, and you know, it was kind of odd because last week we had that, you know, strong north wind, and obviously we had temperatures only in like the low to mid 60s. The lake temperature actually dropped about 6 degrees in about 2 to 3 days. And that's pretty much a testament to the fact that only the top maybe 3 feet of the lake was actually that warm. Once you got down about, say, 5, 6, or 7 feet, it was still pretty cool. And what happens, and we typically talk about this, you know, during the tropical storm season, one of the reasons why you really can't get strong, long-lived systems in the tropics early in the season, that's because that top 3, 4 feet of water is pretty warm, but below that, the water actually cools off very quickly, and that's what happened, I think, last week, Mike. We mixed in a lot of cooler water, and you kind of mixed it up into the top part of the lake. And all of a sudden, last Monday, the lake was down to about 66, 67 degrees, and you kind of felt it, even with the northeast wind. You went, wow, it's not exactly warm, but a couple of mild days and a lot of sunshine, and, you know, we're back to, you know, comfortable swimming weather. And all of a sudden, you look at the calendar and you go, we only have about 3 more weeks of potentially, you know, warm summer weather. So you kind of have to get in as every last drip and drop that you can. And we have another stellar day today, Mike.
Oh, I just keep bringing them on. Bring it on, baby.
The only problem is the mold count has been unusually high the last couple of days. So anybody who suffers from, you know, a little bit of a scratchy throat or maybe the redness of the eyes of when you walk into the woods and something like this. And I noticed also, I've been out several days riding through some of the forest preserves, and the mosquitoes have been terrible.
Really?
If you have, okay. Yeah, I was up at Moraine Valley State Park on Thursday, and I did a long bike ride all the way from around Dempster all the way up to the Chicago Botanical Gardens through that bike path. And as soon as we got to sunset and the wind lightened up, I was literally eating bugs as I was driving through or riding through the path. During the day, they're not too bad. Yesterday, they probably weren't too bad because we had a lot of wind during the day. But you get a day where the wind really dies down very quickly, and I noticed the mosquitoes were quite horrific in some areas. Maybe they were just following my scent, Mike, but they were pretty bad in some areas.
I don't know if you caught the conversation beforehand. We were talking about spraying for West Nile virus mosquitoes in Chicago. One of the things we did not mention was what people use personally on their bodies. A lot of people use DEET, and some people are afraid of DEET. I have found a substance that works very well is cedar oil. Cedar.
Yep, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Cedar side. And I've used that. It was Rick Moskovitz from A-Plus Pest Control introduced me to that.
He recommended that to me as well. Yeah.
And it smells nice. That's the other thing. You smell like an old cedar chest when you put it on, you know?
And are we still talking about Avon Skin So Soft? Remember that was like the
I don't know.
The thing to do. I know my sister who worked for Avon was promoting that quite a bit, no doubt there. But I still think, you know, you get on into the woods, you know, high socks up, you know, just below the knees,
you have to dress properly, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to overspray yourself, and I think that's and I don't think anybody wants to get bit by mosquitoes, but it was pretty bad. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, Mike. This was kind of like a summation of, if you want to call it, the first 2/3 of what we call climatological summer, even though meteorological summer, from a standpoint of hitting the 2/3 mark, doesn't happen until technically the 8th of August. Because we go obviously from the 21st to the 21st, but from a climatological standpoint, we like to look at June and July, and just comparing the month of July of 2013 to 2012, we can go through what we call just the average, you know, between the maximum and the minimum divided by 2, and you get new normal. But if I talk just about the average high temperature, this really shows you how much more dramatically cool we've been this July. First off, air conditioning use is down almost 65%, and I noticed when I got my ComEd bill the other day how that bar was much lower than it was last year at this time, and I think the temperature on my ComEd bill, which is actually pretty accurate, was almost about 7 degrees lower as well. So we're saving a ton of money by not, you know, turning on the air, not so much during the day, but also at night. We've had some amazingly very, very cool and comfortable evenings, and last night and tonight's going to be another one of those. And when I go into the extended forecast in a bit, we'll actually conclude the week on a cool note as well. But 2013, only looking at the high temperatures, afternoon high temperatures topped out on average 81.8 degrees. That's actually about 2.5 degrees below average. You compare that to 2012, every day last year, month of July, we had an average afternoon high temperature of almost 92 degrees. And that's about 7.5 degrees above normal. So you do the math, that this month that we just concluded, the afternoon high temperatures were a full 10 degrees cooler than last year. Even though rainfall didn't really amount to much this month, it's all about evaporation. I talk about that a lot with the hydrologic cycle. The amount of heat that you get, the amount of sun that you get, no matter how much rain you get, you can lose that very, very quickly when you get into that type of a setup. You look at the number of 90s we've had, the month of July, only 4 last year, 18 so far this year, we're up to 36. And actually, if you start to go into the month of August, by this time last year, we were up to 40. And we're certainly not going to get any 90-degree days this month, or at least I should say this week, and maybe not for another couple of weeks. And we're stuck on 6 for the year. Rainfall is still about 10 inches above average. And the interesting thing, Mike, is the crops. When I drove across Iowa a couple of weeks ago, and I'll be going out to Kansas City next week, it's amazing how good the crops are, basically from one end of the soybean fields to the other, all the way from Nebraska and Ohio. So really, really good weather news all the way around.
Yeah, everything is green and lush, and that's the upside of frankly, I don't have a problem with the cool weather, but that doesn't change the fact, you know, we're in a cold pocket, but other parts of the world are really having problems.
Oh my God. Yeah. Really quickly, in the last 2 minutes we have here, one of the worst heat waves in over 140 years across China. Shanghai finished up the month of July with 15 consecutive record high temperatures. And the last couple of the 2 or 3 days, they've had temperatures in the 90s across Europe. And if you were following golf, the women's British Open actually was canceled yesterday due to high winds. Strong storm system moving across the North Atlantic.
Wow.
Actually produced 40-mile-an-hour winds. So forecast for today, Mike, generally mostly sunny skies, a few clouds this morning. We'll clear out this afternoon, but temperatures, again, very pleasant. Mid-70s today, upper 70s tomorrow, but rain arrives tomorrow afternoon. Warm up, a little bit of sun, dry conditions on Tuesday, more rain Wednesday. Both days when we get rain, temperatures generally close to 80, and we go right back in the cooler, drier weather. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week, highs only in the mid-70s. So nothing in the way of any heat or high humidity coming
all
back
right
anytime soon.
All right, well, go take another dip in the lake, and I'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Mike.
All right.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, 820 AM, 92.5, 92.7, 99.9 FM, also streaming live at MikeNovak.net and Chicago'sProgressiveTalk.com. You can always pick up podcasts when the show is over, generally within a couple of days, or Mr. Whitstock is there. Good. We're going to get to him in just us. Oh, my goodness. There has been a Lisa Albrecht sighting. Did you just step out of the shower or what?
Yeah. Don't rat me out here.
What? Because you're clean?
Well, I am clean.
It would be wouldn't
good.
It be worse if I said she never showers
she
comes in here all the time?
So, you know, I should have just come at the 9 o'clock hour and realized that a 16-year-old boy, despite our agreement, was not getting up to come here at 10 o'clock. So I prodded him and pushed him, and all I got was, I want to sleep. So I should have just been here anyway.
Yeah. You should just blown them off. Just yeah, we're done. We're done. Just, you know, you just sleep.
16-year-old boys are not getting up.
No.
Never on Sunday morning.
That's good to see you here, though. Okay, so you can do me a favor, though, which is I need a question. And since you worked with Mr. Gore this week on climate change, I bet you can come up with a really good question that we can pose to folks who who want to win a pair of tickets to the Down in the Dumps tour. On the south side, courtesy.
Pressure, let me think.
Oh, come on. You probably got, off the top of your head, you probably got a question.
Actually, my head is spinning with details and facts and figures. The last 3 days, or well, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as I shared the room with 1,250 cult members. And
you heard me talk about this at the beginning of the show.
I can't wait to get into that, but...
Yeah, I'll find that story. Yeah, that.
You know, okay, so here's the deal. If we want to call cult humanity, then by all means, I am a member of it.
All right.
So there we go.
She's a member of the cult humanity.
But yeah, I learned so much this week about just so many issues, water shortages.
Which we will get to in just a second.
Yes, I know.
Greg Wittstock.
Yeah. Yes, I'm excited about that. So I don't mind to, you know. I know we're going to get to this later, but I will think of a question real quick because my head is spinning.
Yeah, you got to the bottom of the hour when we do that. Let's take a real quick call from Donna. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike, how are you?
Okay.
It's a beautiful day. We got our 31st annual Graceland Garden Walk today, and we have about 45 gardens. It's free. I can pick up a map at 4334 North Greenview. So hope to see. I want to thank Sarah for all the literature.
Oh, Sarah is wonderful. She's not here today, but I know she comes through for everybody who's doing things like this. Give me the address again.
Okay, 4334 North Greenview. Our boundaries are Ashland, Clark, Montrose, and Irving Park.
And the name of the garden walk?
Graceland West.
Graceland West.
21 years, right.
And at 4334 North Greenview, you get what, a map?
A map. You can get a map, and it's free.
And what time does it start?
12 to 5.
12 to 5 today. And you guys couldn't have a more perfect day for this.
Tell me about it. Oh, it's just fabulous.
It is. It is just wonderful. Oh. You know, you got to feel happy for all the folks who picked this day and looked out the window this morning and said, oh, my God, it's so wonderful.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thanks for letting
me know, Donna. I appreciate it. You have a great Sunday and have fun on the walk.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. I like it. I like it. It's a good question. Okay. We'll get to it. I'm going to hang on to this for a second, and we'll do it when we get to that. You know what? I'm going to get to my unscientific poll I did on Facebook later in the hour, because we did talk about we talked a little bit about butterflies earlier, talked about bees. Next week is the big bee conversation with Dr. May Barenbaum from the University of Illinois, and we will talk with other scientists as well about what's happening to our bees and why. And we talked a little bit about that today as we got into the discussion about spraying for West Nile virus, we will continue down that road and continue that conversation next week. But right now, I want to bring in the pond guy, Greg Wittstock. Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you? Boy, you've got another nice day out in Aqualand.
And I'm looking at waterfalls and some koi fish and water lilies right now.
You know, I'm looking at a waterfall, too. It's just a photo of you and Jennifer Brennan from Dig in Chicago talking when we went out there to talk to you guys. But if you haven't been out to Aqualand in St. Charles, and now if you're a fan of ponds and water features in your backyard, you owe it to yourself to at least make a stop and visit Aquascape Inc. And their place they call Aqualand. It's a 256,000 square foot office and warehouse facility. It has the largest sloping green roof in North America, or roof, as some people say. And you even got St. Charles to adopt the title of Water Garden Capital of the World. How'd you do that?
Well, you know what? It's it used to be the pickle capital of the world, so I think they've upgraded a little bit.
The what?
The pickle capital.
Pickle capital?
So
I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we think to step up.
I think so. I had no idea. You know, the people who don't know you just, you know, you need, they need to know that, you know, you were 12 years old, you started the business, and 2 days later you had made $7 million. And,
yeah, right.
And that's, and then you never look back, and the rest is history.
Well, you know, I moved here from New Jersey to Wheaton, back in 1982 when I was 12, and my parents promised me I could bring 11 of my favorite pet turtles with me. So I went in the backyard, Mike, and started digging a hole for a pond the second day I was there, and went to the library. It was days before the internet to learn about water gardens. I got all the books were from England, and I built my first pond out of concrete, and it cracked, turned green, and even my prized turtles began to migrate away. And that was the beginning of my odyssey back in the early 80s with water gardening as a hobbyist.
I think when you do your autobiography, it's got to be called Abandoned by My Own Turtles.
Good one. Yes. So, but I was not undaunted, and I spent the next 7 years ripping out and rebuilding that backyard pond in Wheaton. That became my, in essence, my classroom. I started jimmy rigging up and MacGyvering up my own filter systems to keep the water clean and my pumps flowing. And then in 1991, after my sophomore year at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yes. I wanted to add that one in there.
I know. You just had to throw that in there, didn't you, dude?
I watched Aquascape Design as a residential design build firm, building ponds and water gardens, just like I had in my backyard for other people around Chicagoland. And it just took off. And on August 2nd of 1992, the Chicago Tribune ran a front page story on us in the Chicago Tribune, and that really launched my business. So this is my 23rd year of building water gardens. We have a design build firm in Chicago, Chicagoland, that handles construction and maintenance, and we have two retail stores, one in Lyle and one in St. Charles. And then my main business is manufacturing and supplying landscapers across North America and retail garden centers with our products that I putzed around with and played around with in my own backyard.
Oh, hey, listen, by the way, I just found something I thought you might like to hear. oh, gosh, how did the Michigan Fight song get into this?
I have no... Oh, boy.
Go ahead, go ahead, sing. What?
I think they're ranked 20th. I think Ohio State's 2 and Michigan's 20th.
Yeah, you know, ranked. Let's start playing the games, okay, and see what happens, dude. You know, I'm not going to win that. Ohio State is going to beat up on pretty much everybody in the Big Ten this year. So here you are, down the road, and you figured out how to keep your concrete from cracking in your... And was the secret to actually put a lining in it? Didn't that help a little bit, too?
Well, in Chicago, of course, the books were written from England. And in Chicago, in zone 5 winter times, the ground's going to heave and thaw. So concrete is almost always going to crack. So we eventually, after 2 years of ripping out and rebuilding and trying to fix cracked concrete, put a EPDM rubber liner down. And that allowed us the flexibility to, you know, it will move and shift with the earth. It's a lot less expensive than concrete, a lot less time-consuming, looks a lot more natural, and, of course, is perfect for our climate here in Chicago.
You know, that's amazing. I had no idea that in as recently as 1982, nobody was talking about this. Nobody was writing books in the United States about putting in ponds.
We've written 11 books now on water gardening, and it's all based on the aquascape ecosystem philosophy. We work with Mother Nature, not against her. We don't use chemicals. We use bacteria and biological means. And trying to fight Mother Nature is like going to the doctor and saying, give me a pill, versus stop smoking, eating better, and working out. And so we prefer that method.
Well, okay, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think most people have the idea when you're dealing with pond, you are dealing with lots of chemicals. You got to keep that water clean. And that, in a sense, you are fighting Mother Nature. How is it that you are working with Mother Nature?
Well, then of course, most water features are built incorrectly, and they're built to try to be maintained by men, no different than a swimming pool, but it's about as polar opposite of a swimming pool as you can be. You know, God's been doing it, nature's been doing it for a lot longer than we've been here with man-made means. So what we do is we want to work with creating a beautiful pond recipe, which includes five parts, rocks and gravel, plants and fish. Those are the first three parts. Mechanical filtration, and which is your skimmer filters that are made out of garbage cans, and biological filters, which is were cattle troughs back in the day in the early 80s when I was experimenting. And then the last thing is your pump and plumbing. You put those five parts, Mike, in a beautiful pond recipe. You use bacteria and enzymes and not chemicals, and you will have a water garden that's less maintenance in the same area planted in grass and a heck of a lot more impactful and beautiful.
So are we getting away from the idea of just loading up a pool with chlorine?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people are. I'm looking right now at a 300-foot-long swim pond at Aqualand that I was just swimming in yesterday. It's crystal clear. I can see 10 feet to the bottom, and I'd much rather swim with fish and turtles and frogs than in a chlorinated man-made system.
And I know that you're very interested. We're talking to Greg Whitstock, the pond guy. If you saw him right now sitting in his chair, wherever he is, looking out in his pond, he'd have his thumb up in the air, right?
Yes, carpe diem, baby.
There. And I love carp too, so there you go. Oh, that's
right.
A different kind of carp.
That's what koi is. People always ask, what do you do with the fish in the winter? And we say, we leave them out there. They're just fancy-looking carp.
Exactly. Now, you're a man after my own heart there, Greg. We were talking a little earlier. Lisa walked in and was telling us about conserving water. And that's something you've gotten into with the rainwater harvesting, and you understand how important water conservation is. What have you done to direct your company towards that?
Well, sustainability, especially now, it's a huge hot topic, but sustainability is an incredibly important topic. And so what we're doing is capturing the rainwater that lands on the roofs, comes from our air conditionings, lands on permeable pavers, and we're using that to replenish the water that's in the ponds. So what's wonderful about that is people can even actually irrigate and use that water for vegetable gardens. In particular, people that use the rainwater for their vegetable gardens absolutely have way better tasting vegetables, they swear, than if they're using city chlorinated and chloramine water. And, and for flood control, for, all sorts of reasons, it's great to be able to rethink the way water uses, instead of trying to look at it as a liability, look at it as an asset what falls on your property.
You know, I grabbed some, I shouldn't say this, okay, that would be given away. I have an idea for another, for our question here, because Greg Whitstock, the pond guy from Aquascape Inc., has some interesting facts. And by the way, if anybody is interested, you got a pond, you got a quick question, we'll take it, 773-763-9278. Perhaps your concrete cracked. You put it in 1982 and it's now cracked, and you want to know how to fix it, or you want to go in other directions. One of the things that fascinated me, all right, a couple of things. One, the rainwater harvesting system, how are you directing rain off of impermeable surfaces into the ground so that they can be used in the future? What's the best way to do that?
Well, the impermeable surface, let's say your roof, we have a downspout filter that filters pre-filters all of the water before it goes into your pond or your pondless or your fountainscape that's in an underground basin that we use. Instead of using containers, which are shipping air, we use a collapsible block system. So for permeable surfaces, which is typically your roof, we're capturing it through the gutters and then pre-filtering it through a downspout filter.
And then does it go underground? Do you store it underground?
Yep. Goes underground, and then the decorative element is your waterfalls or your fountainscape or your pond that's on top of that. And that, of course, adds an affinity. So, you can have a 10,000-gallon rain exchange system below your ground, and you would never know it unless you had a fountain on top of it. So the permeable services, we're using the downspouts, and then what we're doing is, or for the permeable services like pavers and patios, we're just letting it infiltrate in through the cracks in the ground. For impermeable, like a roof, we use the downspouts.
All right, so let's say you've got a rainwater harvesting system and you have that I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the term.
The rain exchange?
The tub in the ground. That's
Your reservoir?
Reservoir. Okay, your reservoir. Yep. That works. The reservoir in the ground. How often do you need to supplement that? Let's say you got a pond or waterfall or something like that. How often do you need to supplement with city water, or do you ever have to supplement it once you've collected it?
It 100% depends on how large of a basin the people want to build. It can be a small 500-gallon basin, or it could be a 50,000-gallon basin. We get 36 inches of rain here in Chicago, and so we have we have a calculator on rainexchange.com. That's RANXCANGE, rainexchange.com. And people could actually calculate, based on the area that they're living, how much rain is going to fall on their property and then how big of a basin they would use, depending on what kind of use they're going to use, whether they're irrigating turf, which, of course, requires the most amount, or if they're just going to be doing drip irrigation for their garden.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks, give it up on the turf, okay? You know, you haven't even needed to water your turf this year, basically.
I love killing grass and putting in water gardens.
There you go. See, I love killing grass and putting in a vegetable garden or
You like killing grass and putting in anything else.
Yeah, that's true. Almost anything else. But, you know,
almost.
Greg's with me on that. Now, one of the things you've also been doing is taking these systems overseas and working with other countries through your Aquascape Foundation to bring water conservation to other countries. Explain that work.
Well, I would be taking credit for my wife's foundation, which is the aquascapefoundation.org. And what she really did was say, hey, you know, this is a great product for, you know, people are using to conserve water here, but water is the number one killer of human beings on the planet. What about taking a system and going to third world countries and using it where it can actually sustain life instead of just sustain plants or vegetable gardens or a koi pond? And so she really took the ball and ran with it. I could not be more proud of her. She was just a Starbucks mom raising our two boys. And about 6 years ago, she formed the Aquascape Foundation as a non-for-profit. And she has been traveling the globe multiple times to Africa. She's going back again to Africa, again to Ghana, West Africa, in January to put a 25,000-gallon rain exchange system in at a school that literally the kids would be unable to go to the school if they didn't have a rain exchange system because of the fact that there's no clean water. They literally have to walk miles to get it from the river. We put them in Colombia, South America. This last February, we were in the Dominican Republic. So she travels around. There's more need than we could possibly handle. We're trying to train our certified aquascape contractors to be able to take off with this idea. But the bottom line is what we use here for function with, you know, koi ponds and water gardens and vegetable gardens, they're using for life-sustaining water in other countries.
So you're able to get enough from rainfall for the rain exchange?
Well, it's kind of funny, Mike. When you go to Africa, the women actually will when it's the dry season, they will walk to the river, carry the buckets of water back, fill up the rain exchange, let it go through our filter system, and then drink pure water instead of impure water that could actually kill them.
Wow.
Wow.
See, now I'm thinking that, Greg, your wife and David J. Zaber need to hook up. He's a guy, he's a listener to my show, and he works up in Wisconsin, and he's been making various trips to Africa recently, and I'm sure water is a concern there in some of the places he's worked. And I got a feeling that you guys could hook up. And
yes, she's always networking with people all over the globe around this. This is a global issue. It's not just an African issue or a South American issue. It's a global issue.
That's very cool. I'm going to do that. I'm going to set that up. Put them together, and maybe he'll even write me today about this, and we'll see if we can hook you guys up.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, I want to be a conduit here too, as much as I can. I don't have a foundation, but if you do, and this is doing good work, I want to take advantage of it.
Who would have ever thunk, which started off with 11 pet turtles in 1982, would be leading to trips to third world countries for allowing them to live?
You know, and that's what one of the things I really admire about what you're doing is that you are taking your success and attempting to share it with others. You know, not to get too touchy-feely about it, but that's important stuff.
Well, you know, that's our motto. Our motto is, I mean, we have certified aquascape contractors and retailers. I mean, I took my hobby and patented a filtration system and then taught people what I was doing in Chicagoland, which is still our R&D department. And what's really cool is that they've been able to create livelihoods around what we created just in my backyard as a hobby.
It's just great. You know, I saw something when I was out there with you and you were walking me through some of your products. One of the ones that helped clean up algae had something to do with electricity. How does that work?
Well, one of the biggest problems that we've had, Mike, for, you know, 20 years, is my 23rd year, is we build crystal clear water, but when you're getting sunlight and you have nutrients in the water from fish and everything else, you get string algae, and people would hate it. They would have to physically remove it, which is what our suggestion was, and, of course, increased our aquatic plants that robbed the nutrients that would feed that algae. But because of the Aquascape Foundation and trying to purify the water so people could drink it, something that we had never had to done, a side benefit that we found was that we were able to eliminate string algae in the water through an ionization process that has been normally used in swimming pools. But with a swimming pool ionizer that has silver in it, and silver would kill your fish. So we ended up working with the University of Guelph over a three-year period and ended up creating a product called the Iongen, I-O-N-G-E-N, and it literally, you plug it in, it takes 1 watt, and it literally allows string algae, it eliminates string algae 100% in a pond, depending on where you dial it into. So it's zero maintenance, and it eliminates one of the biggest problems with people with their ponds is what happens when you have naturally occurring algae in an ecosystem pond.
Is this something that could be of use in other water sources than ponds?
I was going to ask the same question.
It's primarily an aesthetic thing because algae is a natural plant. It just occurs, you know, it detracts from the beauty of a water garden. Plus, it adds to a consumer's maintenance. So we want to improve the consumer's experience with water features in the Iongen, which has only been this is our third year selling that product. But every water feature, whether it's a fountainscape or a pondless waterfall or a pond, needs an Iongen because it basically, you know, virtually eliminates the maintenance associated with string algae.
Mm-hmm. So that's really a separate issue from the water purification systems that you've been working with.
It's got the water purification system. We added silver, which kills the bad bacteria that would, you know, obviously is what causes people to die. The pond unit, we just use the copper, which allows algae to ingest it and break off. So it's what's really nice about it is that it has two functions. One is obviously it all started because of the Aquascape Foundation doing something good, came back to where we can actually solve our biggest pond problem, which was algae.
Amazing. And does it have to have a power source, or can you work on a battery?
Nope. You could. It's only 1 watt.
Yeah, so that's why I was wondering.
On 24/7, but sure, you can do solar because all it does is give an electrical charge to two copper probes, and the copper ions get absorbed by the single cell algae, break apart. And the nice side benefit is now the aquatic plants that are competing for algae for that food source grow much healthier.
You know, Greg, you've come a long way from your turtles in your backyard and your cracked concrete.
Well, it's you know what? I believe, Mike, everybody wants a water feature. They just don't know it yet. It's my job to let them know. So,
from other pond people, what I've heard is everybody wants a larger feature than the one they have now. They just don't know it yet.
Well, that's why we put on our parade of ponds, our pond tours. We do them every month from May through September, third Saturday each month. I think the next one's going to be August 17th in Bartlett, West Suburbs. And then I think the last one is September 21st in Downers Grove, and that's actually an evening tour. And the number one thing we want people to do is go and tour water gardens to be able to talk to people that have rain exchange systems, the people that have pondless waterfalls, and see what they did to get inspired for what they could do or what their water feature could become. And so that's why we do those free tours. All people need to do is go to aquascapedesigns.com, which is our website, and download a ticket.
And if you want more information, I have the links on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got the link to Aquascape. I got the link to the rainwater harvesting system. I've got the link to the Aquascape Foundation. You'll see a couple of photos on the left, one of which it's kind of an understatement. You'll appreciate it, Greg. It says,
Now I'm curious. I'm going to go to my iPad after we hang up.
It says a pond at Aquascape. And it is your pond outside your world headquarters there, which is it one of the largest in the world?
Well, it's one of the largest aquascape ecosystem ponds. So we filter this when you filter these large ones with wetland filtration. But you know, it's got 6 million pounds of stone that was all brought up from Missouri in the Ozarks and placed in here with large equipment to be able to basically replicate, you know, nature in our own, you know, in a commercial industrial setting that we're basically off of here in St. Charles.
Yeah, and there, I took a photo with my camera, or rather with my cell phone, and it just turned out great. This is beautiful, and it was a day like today, perfectly sunny skies. The sun was starting to set, and you can see a guy with a camera up there. That's Blaine Howerton from Dig In Chicago. And you see, you look at this, is ridiculously beautiful. And if folks want to come out and see it, they should. They should come out to St. Charles to.
We're open 7 days a week with the retail store, and come on by and feed the fish and smell the lilies.
Yeah, and the turtles. Feed the turtles as well.
We have Monster that will always be willing to take a handout in the retail store.
Yeah, it's great. Do you want to give a real quick plug to Pondemonium?
Well, Pondemonium, what I really like, Pondemonium is our annual training event, and people, competitors come from all over the country and all over the world. In fact, I think there's one listening in England right now. At least you told me that on my Facebook page. But, the big, yeah, it was pretty cute. The big thing that... for the consumers, though, is September 28th and 29th is our fall festival here at Aqualand. So we have a big Water Garden weekend, which is always the first weekend before, or the weekend right before Memorial Day, and then fall festival is the last weekend in September. So the pond tours, the third Saturday every month, and then the fall festival, the end of September, is a great time to let people, you know, kick the tires and get good deals on products. And you know, the thing that's so enjoyable for me is talking to other hobbyists, people that have either, you know, through a professional or through their own, you know, created their own backyard ecosystem in paradise to attract wildlife. And, you know, the best part is when they have kids because, you know, Mike, as far as I'm concerned, you know, our kids are getting addicted to electronics, and to be able to spend outside for hours on end, which kids will do when they've got turtles, fish, and frogs to play with. I mean, that's the best classroom that could possibly be.
I think so. It's a great way to get them out to nature. Greg Whitstock, the pond guy. Head to Aquascape, Inc. Again, the links are on my homepage, but you can just go to aquascapeinc.com. Greg, I hope we talk again soon. Thank you so much for your time.
Mike, thanks a lot, and go Bucks.
Wait a second. Oh, wait, there's that music again. You know, the thing that impressed me the most, Greg, was that you knew where Michigan was in the rankings, even though Ohio State is number two. You're keeping an eye on us, aren't you?
Always, baby, always.
Okay. Greg, thanks a lot. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Enough of that. All right. But we're getting there. Getting into the football season.
These images, I can't take my eyes off these ponds.
I know. Amazing.
I'm on aquascapeinc.com, and it's amazing.
All right. This is our question to give away two tickets to the Down in the Dumps tour. Okay. 1 inch of rainfall. 1 inch of rainfall on a 2,000 square foot residential roof generates... how many gallons of water?
I know.
I know you do.
And it's a number I said in reference to the number of people who are in my training.
So there you go.
There's a cue.
You've had a hint here. 1 inch of rainfall on a 2,000 square foot residential roof generates how many gallons of water within 50? 100? What do you think? 100. Within 100.
Within 100.
Within 100. Okay. 773-763-9278. And make sure that you want to go on the tour next week. This is the Down in the Dumps tour, courtesy of the Southeast Environmental Task Force. So don't call just to win. Call if you actually want to be on the tour. Okay, folks? So let's do that. 773-763-9278. The question is, 1 inch of rainfall on a 2,000-square-foot residential roof generates... how many gallons of water that can be reused? Get it within 100. gallons. 773-763-9278.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. I often talk about the economic value of trees, but the human response to trees can be even more important. We feel serene, peaceful, restful, and tranquil in a grove of trees. We are at home there. The calming effect of nearby trees and urban greening can significantly reduce workplace stress levels and fatigue, calm traffic. I like that idea. Just be driving around. Oh, I feel better. I'm not going to cut this guy off because I saw a honey locust. And it even decreases the recovery time needed after surgery. Trees can also reduce crime. Apartment buildings with high levels of green space have lower crime rates than nearby apartments without trees. Because of their potential for long life, trees are frequently planted as living memorials. We often become personally attached to trees that we or those we love have planted. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your cherished trees. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466. If you call today, they'll return the call tomorrow. Or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I ain't got nobody. Oh, and there's nobody cares for me. There's nobody.
All together now.
Cares for me. Nobody cares for me.
And again, our question. The question, 1 inch of rainfall on a 2,000 square foot residential roof generates how many gallons of water that can be reused, and get it within 100, and we'll get you a couple of tickets to the Down in the Dumps tour next Saturday, 10 a.m., leaving from the Cultural Center, and I will be on the bus. And you know all about that, Lisa, because you were on their last tour. So, before we get to you and your deal.
I just realized I keep turning on the center mic and not my own mic.
I know.
I keep reaching hard and then I just realized that I'm looking at the wrong.
You're sitting in, well, you're out of position there. You're not in your usual position. That's because Carol usurped your seat there.
I'm surprised you haven't thrown something, because I literally keep reaching halfway across the studio to turn on a microphone that I'm not sitting in front of. Hey, I'm a professional.
You're working way too hard. That's it. All right, let's go to line one. Bring in Sonia Vogel. Are you there, Sonia?
Yes, I am.
Boy, you got a railroad whistle on your phone there, whatever it was.
I'm not sure what that was. I heard it too.
I just think it's a interesting connection.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's the NSA. Hi, guys. You listen to the show too? Great. Okay, listen, record everything, and then play it back for your buddies in the office. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, this is going to be fun.
All right, now we'll be all right. Sonia is calling about the 12th annual Illinois Renewable Energy and Sustainable Lifestyle Fair.
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm calling about that and another organization, and I just wanted to very quickly mention that to you. The Prairie Preservation Society of Ogle County has recently purchased an 82-acre tract that contains the highest quality sand prairie in this part of Illinois and a tree farm. And we're selling Christmas trees to pay off the land and to maintain it. And we're very pleased that we have that opportunity. But the other one is the 12th annual Illinois Renewable Energy and Sustainable Lifestyle Fair. Now, that's a heck of a mouthful.
Yeah.
But we I think we need to use all of the words because it started out as simply an energy fair. But we decided that we needed to broaden it out to people that were not necessarily just the one interested in energy. We started with solar and wind, and we had installers and presentations, and we had geothermal and insulation, and it was great for the people that were interested in renewable energy. But if it was a family event, the rest of the family might not be so interested. So we felt that we needed to add things that would interest all members of the family, all walks of life, all people. And so we are stressing sustainability because not only does that interest more people, but it's the kind of thing that people can do in their own lives, and it doesn't cost them anything. And it's more, much more than just energy. It's energy, lifestyle, what you eat, where you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think it's a really fun resource. This is the one in Ogle County, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, this is it's a great way to spend the day.
Have you been there, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've presented. Did I present? No, I did not present. But the owner of my company, Solar Service, Brandon Levitt, has presented there many times.
Oh, my. You work for Brandon.
I work for Brandon Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You see, you got to understand. I got all the bases covered here, okay? Sonia, Lisa has been a regular on the show for a while now, and she's my alternative energy expert.
And I didn't realize that I was talking to Sonia. At first, I apologize. I got sucked into Facebook and I missed the introduction.
That's quite all right.
But yeah, no, Sonia and Bob do an amazing effort to bring just resource after resource for folks who are just, you know, maybe you're dabbling and you only just recently heard about some of these things and you know that there's solutions out there, but you don't know what they are. This is the place to go. It's a fun day. There's eco food out there for you to eat. It's out on the county, old county fairgrounds. Inspirationally, you know, there's an old power plant. You can still see the plumes of smoke out there, so you know, kind of to motivate, let's get moving and make some change.
Well, thank you. I couldn't have plugged it better myself.
It's a super fun day, and I say it's for all ages. Mm-hmm. It's a great day.
Yes, it is. It's for people that are interested in renewable energy, sustainability, organic gardening, food preparation, food preservation, planning for the future, healthy lifestyles. And we try to have a complete thread for each one of the topics. And we do, again, this year, we have one that's more philosophically oriented, and that includes the keynote speaker, Andrew Nikiforek. And then we have a thread on buildings. We have one on energy in general. We have one on food and gardening. So if you are interested in food and gardening, you can find out how to grow a healthy garden, what to do with it once you harvest it, how to prepare the food, how to preserve it. And we even have people that are explaining butchering in addition to garden vegetables. And last year we had somebody there with a live chicken talking about what it's like to raise chickens for eggs.
A live chicken?
A live chicken, yes.
How did they manage that?
Oh, she brought it in a cage.
How fun.
With her pet chicken. She calls it Kitty.
Well, you know, Sonia, I think one of the things that you guys bring is you know, just a huge wealth of knowledge and passion to this effort. And if you don't know what your passion is, show up that day and you can find it and you'll have the experts and answers who will be able to steer you in the right direction to follow that. You know, I mean, this is a daunting task before us. But what's important is that each of us does what we seem to be called to do. So for me, it's solar. For Rob, it's gardening. You know, each of us has our own calling. And I think this Fair is a really great place to maybe come and figure out what your calling is. Maybe, you know, like Greg, you loved turtles and suddenly you found yourself in aquascape. But you get out there and find those answers, and this is a good resource to do that.
Yes, you're right. It certainly is. We focus on so many things. If people are interested in transportation or in our cars, in how to remodel their homes in an energy efficient way, all of these things are possible. How to recreate in the area outdoors with minimal impact. And, of course, we have solar PV, and we have wind and batteries and alternative energy to become independent from the grid.
And your keynote speaker this year is, how do you pronounce Andrew's last name?
Nikiforuk.
Nikiforuk from Calgary. Yeah. Rachel Carson Award-winning journalist. One of his presentations will be based on his book, Tar Sands, Dirty Oil, and the Future of a Continent. And the other presentation is based on another book, The Energy of Slaves.
And that one really kind of catches me. Talks about how throughout history, ruling people needed slaves to do all the work because they just couldn't do it themselves. And now we don't have human slaves. We have energy slaves. And he claims that each of us has the equivalent of 100 slaves working 24/7 to provide us with everything that we need in our modern lives. So that one is going to be really interesting. Because
so,
who are the masters and who are the slaves?
All right, give me the link for the event.
Okay, it's www.illinoisrenew.org.
All right. I'm going there right now. www.illinoisrenew.org. There you are, the Illinois Renewable Energy Association.
The picture you see there is one of our favorites. It shows the Byron Nuclear Power Plant and the ComEd solar trailer, all in one.
I love it, because you got the nuclear power and your solar collector.
Yeah.
Love it.
The same photo. Great stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, Sonia Vogel. And if you have a chance, on the 17th and 18th, it's not for a couple of weeks, but I knew I wouldn't have a lot of time next week, so I encourage Sonia to call today. 17th and 18th at the Ogle Fair County Fairgrounds in Oregon, Illinois, and go to illinoisrenew.org. Sonia, thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great Bye-bye. Sunday. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. I just saw that. And these headsets are cutting in and out, and it's going to drive me insane. But I just got followed on Twitter by BBC Radio 4's Garden Question Time. Love that. I've been on there. I don't know if it was that show, but I'm glad they're following. There was a BBC program that took a clip of something I did when I was at Gargantua Radio and put it on the BBC. I've got it here in the... in fact, this is it right here. Hold on. If I play this, let's move this down. This is the one that BBC did.
Mike Novak is another American gardening great, the Ed Murrow of gardening.
Wow.
Nice.
So cool.
Thank you very much. That's a little bit of editing in there. But actually, she did say I was the Ed Murrow of gardening. Of course, I said it first. But she just... parroted it. Lisa Albrecht in the studio. You had a remarkable week.
Wow. I am still flying high. So I had the unique...
You joined the cult.
Yes, the cult. And I'm so glad that they had moles in there, because we, of course, are hiding our research.
If you're wondering what I'm talking about, at the top of the show, Rosemary Dolan Lesh sent me this article. I don't know where she came up with it, but apparently there was, you know, they had the Climate Reality Project had its training session this week with Al Gore himself and others, and some, all right, right-wing nut job got in there, and he's going to uncover Al Gore. He's going to expose him for the crazy he is. And this guy went...
Because our message is secret.
And he said, basically, he says things like, it was a super liberal kumbaya crowd, and he doesn't even know how to spell kumbaya. And he says, I kept many of my opinions to myself. The event truly did have a religious cult programming feel to it, similar to an Amway meeting I attended years ago. Carefully timed applause, audience call and response, etc. Very bizarre.
Okay. My blood pressure. I feel like my heart's racing. My blood pressure is getting so high right now. You know, so yes, if you were an outsider walking into this, I can see that. But you know what? In this room were people who took from all over the world. We had 70 countries represented, all 50 states. 1,250 people came into
They're
the room.
They're all in the cult.
And we talked about the devastation of our planet. We talked about water shortages. We talked about droughts. We talked about floods, fires, famines. We talked about the worst things that humanity is facing today and will face in greater intensity tomorrow. But we left there hopeful. And so if you want to applaud hope, or if you want to sit back in a corner
the hopey,
and cry,
changey thing?
You know, really we have two choices. We can sit and give up, or we can get excited, get to work, and bring the message that climate problems are happening now, and that it's not too late for us to take major steps towards solving those problems. So if you want to call that a cult, and if you want to say that, you know, Amway is a great organization. They were one of the greenest cleaning solution providers before this was even a term. You know, in the 70s, when they came out with their products, liquid organic compound, LOC, was something that my mom used in the early 70s, and it doesn't create water pollution. So, I mean, they were ahead of the curve knowing that cleaning solutions have a different output. So if they're excited by the fact that their product is not damaging the planet, by all means, let them applaud. And that's really what was happening in the room.
Well, he was just comparing it. This guy was just comparing it. I mean, you know, the conservatives love to hate Al Gore because they view him as an easy target.
Sure. And, you know what? You know, and that to me just demonstrates even more what a hero he is and how strong he is, because he is vilified over and over and over. But name me anybody from the prior presidential election who's out there working hard on an issue bigger than himself. Name a retired vice president who's out there working hard. You know what I mean? Like, he's out in the forefront. He could sit back and retire. He could write a couple books. He could do a couple of things. But he's out there working hard on an issue that he was passionate about before he was an elected official. And he's continued working on that passion. So, I don't know. Maybe I drank the Kool-Aid.
You obviously did. But you learned a lot of stuff this week, too, I'm sure.
I did, you know, and that was
one of the criticisms. I'm going to let this drop because I don't want it just be tainted. But he said Al wasn't saying anything new.
And that's the greatest thing. The message is not new. You know, there's really
that's
four,
the point, huh? That it hasn't changed.
There's four parts to the message. It's happening. Nobody needs to look further than their own window to realize that it's happening. We're seeing.
And when you say it's happening, what's happening?
Climate change is happening. We are seeing extreme weather events. We are seeing things that, you know, weather that is happening in areas that doesn't normally get that type of weather. So everyone is either affected by it directly by just looking out their own window. I mean, look at here in the United States, 2012 was the warmest, was the hottest year on record in the United States. June 2013. This past June was the 340th month in a row that recorded higher temperatures than average across the globe. So it is happening, and it is happening right now. Yes, here in Chicago, we are having a cooler summer, but that does not mean that it's all over. You know, you can't look at an event. As Rick has said many times, you can't look at an event. It's the trends that are important. So it's happening. It's happening now. You know, and one of the big debates is, you know, is it man-made? 97% of all scientists have in consensus agreed that it is man-made.
So you're saying the question is still in doubt?
Yes.
No,
97%.
It's 3%, so obviously, you know.
Right. You know,
there are 3% of people in the world who think the world is flat, too, I think.
Well, and deniers of gravity, I'm sure, must be out there
somewhere.
Yeah,
that's right. I deny, the older I get, the more I deny gravity. Well, but the more reality it becomes.
I think that human, you know, conditions. I guess that's what keeps facelift surgeons in business is gravity.
But no, it was kind of cool talking to you and how energized you were by this week. Yeah, you know, and I realized I should have gone.
I should have taken this course. Every single time, you know, I mean, everyone should have been there. Rob should have been there. Sarah, Carol, I should have pulled you into that room.
So why didn't you?
I get so focused on my own busyness, and I was preparing myself for the week so that I could get my work done so I could be gone for three solid days and not look at email. and I didn't look bigger. I gave you the information, but I didn't push to make you get there. I was happy, though. I know of at least 8 people in the room who were there because they saw me give the presentation during the course of the year, which I would like to put out there. If anyone, you know, there was a recent, Bill Moyers had a really fascinating interview back in January from Tony Lisowitz, and he pointed out that there's, you know, 6 different Americas. He talked about there's you know, folks that, you know that this problem is out there. They might not know the solutions. There's the concerned citizens that it's happening. There's, yes.
Sorry.
Have
sorry.
That?
No. Go ahead. Just continue. Okay.
But there's a lot of people who are looking for information who have said, yep, you know what? I'm pretty sure this is happening, but I don't know any details. I would love to fill in those gaps. And so if you would like to have me come to speak or, you know, me, I had 26 mentors or trainees who were under my care, mm-hmm. and they would also be available to come and present to your group, your library, your school, your church, whatever organization in your basement. We'll come and talk to you. So if you'd like more information about that, please send me an email at albrecht.lisa@gmail.com.
Or send to mike@mikenovak.net.
Yes.
Either one. Or Albrecht, albrecht.lisa@gmail.com. Yep. Or just mike@mikenovak.net. If you're really interested in having Lisa come out, and she's great. She does a good job. Are you going to do with your buddy?
Drew Solomon, yes.
Drew Solomon,
yes.
You guys still do the tag team?
We do.
So she and Drew would come out and do that. Okay, we have a winner. That is, I believe, William D. Brown. Does that make sense? Have you been looking at this on Facebook? He guessed 1,246.6. He's messing with us.
That's
all right.
Really good, yeah.
He's messing with us, okay? William D. Brown, you just got 2 tickets to the Down in the Dumps tour. The answer, of course, was 1,250. So he's just messing with us there. So the question, of course, was 1 inch of rainfall on a 2,000-square-foot residential roof generates 1,250 gallons of water that can be reused. It's pretty cool. Thanks to Greg Whitstock and Aquascape Inc. for that information I've got. And William obviously went to my website. It was all sitting right there on this week's show. So that was the easiest question in the world to answer. You could look it up right there. All right, let's take care of it. I got a couple of things here, and maybe we'll get to a garden question in just a sec.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only 1/3 of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
We've gotten some tweets like Ernest Renard says, I belong to the human cult too. We had a request, want to know where they can find the Bill Moyers presentation. You have any idea?
We will post that on Facebook right now.
Okay. Another, Amway is owned by the extremely conservative DeVos family. They support extreme policies, in my opinion. Ironic, the person writes, about the cleaning, if the cleaning products are.
Well, I don't really know their philosophy very much, but I do know their products.
Yeah. I did get a phone call. I thought I was going to be able to get to a John in Kenosha, overwhelmed by weeds. Shoot me an email. I'll send you a message. We'll talk about it together and see what I can do, because we're absolutely running out of time here. And I did want to mention, because I had gone to, I posted on Garden Chat, which is a Facebook group, and the Mike Novak Show, asking where the monarchs are. Pretty much everybody all over the country who responded said, haven't seen any. I've seen articles about it. Haven't seen any. We may have to bring that up next week. Maybe we can get some buddies from Monarch Watch on the show to talk about that. The only places that anybody had seen any was Barb Malera from Landreth Seeds in Pennsylvania. And what was it? A guy in Florida said saw a lot of them. Everybody else is like, eh. Nope, haven't seen them.
I haven't.
So there we go. All right. Thank you all for joining us. Next week's bees. We're going to get to that conversation about where have all the bees gone. And here's your theme, Rob.
Oh, yeah, theme.
So I didn't get it started in time. We'll just get out of here. We'll just say go green or
go home.